I'm hardly awake. Forgive me. I'm still all untidy."
But the little prince couldn't contain his admiration.
"How lovely you are!"
"Aren't I?" the flower answered sweetly. "And I was born the same time as the sun."
The little prince realized that she wasn't any too modest, but she was so dazzling.
"I believe it is breakfast time," she had soon added. "Would you be so kind as to tend to me?"
And the little prince, utterly abashed, having gone to look for a watering can, served the flower. She had soon begun tormenting him with her rather touchy vanity. One day, for instance, alluding to her four thorns, she remarked to the little prince,
"I'm ready for tigers with all their claws."
"There are no tigers on my planet," the little prince had objected. "And besides, tigers don't eat wheat."
"I am not a weed," the flower sweetly replied.
"Forgive me. I am not at all afraid of tigers, but I have a horror of draughts. You wouldn't happen to have a screen?"
"A horror of draughts? That's not a good sign for a plant," the little prince had observed. "How complicated this flower is."
"After dark, you will put me under glass. How cold it is where you live. Quite uncomfortable. But where I come from..."
But she suddenly broke off. She had come here as a seed. She couldn't have known anything of other worlds. Humiliated at having let herself be caught on the verge of so naive a lie, she coughed two or three times in order to put the little prince in the wrong.
"Ahem. The screen?"
"I was going to look for one, but you were speaking to me."
Then she made herself cough again, in order to inflict a twinge of remorse on him all the same. So the little prince, despite all the goodwill of his love, had soon come to mistrust her. He had taken seriously certain inconsequential remarks and had grown very unhappy.
"I shouldn't have listened to her," he confided to me one day. "You must never listen to flowers. You must look at them and smell them. Mine perfumed my planet, but I didn't know how to enjoy that. The business about the tiger claws, instead of annoying me, ought to have moved me."
And he confided further,
"In those days, I didn't understand anything. I should have judged her according to her actions, not her words. She perfumed my planet and lit up my life. I should never have run away. I ought to have realized the tenderness underlying her silly pretensions. Flowers are so contradictory. But I was too young to know how to love her."
Chapter 9. In order to make his escape, I believe he took advantage of a migration of wild birds. On the morning of his departure, he put his planet in order. He carefully raked out his active volcanoes. The little prince possessed two active volcanoes, which were very convenient for warming his breakfast. He also possessed one extinct volcano. But, as he said,
"You never know."
So he raked out the extinct volcano too. If they are properly raked out, volcanoes burn gently and regularly without eruptions. Volcanic eruptions are like fires in a chimney. Of course, on our Earth, we are much too small to rake out our volcanoes. That is why they cause us so much trouble. The little prince also uprooted, a little sadly, the last baobab shoots. He believed he would never be coming back. But all these familiar tasks seemed very sweet to him on this last morning. And when he watered the flower one last time and put her under glass, he felt like crying.
"Goodbye,"
he said to the flower. But she did not answer him.
Goodbye,
he repeated. The flower coughed, but not because she had a cold.
I've been silly, she told him at last. I ask your forgiveness. Try to be happy.
He was surprised that there were no reproaches. He stood there, quite bewildered, holding the glass bell in mid-air. He failed to understand this calm sweetness.
Of course I love you, the flower told him. It was my fault you never knew. It doesn't matter.
But you were just as silly as I was.
Try to be happy. Put that glass thing down. I don't want it anymore.
But the wind.
My cold isn't that bad. The night air will do me good. I'm a flower.
But the animals.
I need to put up with two or three caterpillars if I want to get to know the butterflies. Apparently they're very beautiful. Otherwise, who will visit me? You'll be far away. As for the big animals, I'm not afraid of them. I have my own claws.
And she naively showed her four thorns. Then she added,
Don't hang around like this, it's irritating. You made up your mind to leave, now go.
For she didn't want him to see her crying. She was such a proud flower. Chapter 10. He happened to be in the vicinity of asteroids 325, 326, 327, 328, 329, and 330. So he began by visiting them, to keep himself busy and to learn something. The first one was inhabited by a king. Wearing purple and ermine, he was sitting on a simple yet majestic throne.
Ah, here's a subject, the king exclaimed when he caught sight of the little prince.
And the little prince wondered,
How can he know who I am if he's never seen me before?
He didn't realize that for kings, the world is extremely simplified. All men are subjects.
Approach the throne so I can get a better look at you, said the king, very proud of being a king for someone at last.
The little prince looked around for a place to sit down, but the planet was covered by the magnificent ermine cloak. So he remained standing,